Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Be with us. Again, what we're doing is we're studying what God's Word says, really about government. The term ecclesia, the reason we call it Ecclesia Principles, is Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, particularly verse 18, he said, "On this rock I will build my church." The word church there in the Greek is ecclesia. Just a little tidbit of information. When the King James translation was translated, King James gave them instruction to use the word church, which really comes from a different Greek word. It doesn't come from ecclesia. I encourage you to look up the etymology of church, and you'll find that to be the case. Mainly, I believe, now this is opinion, we don't have, or at least I've never seen any reason given for why he did that. My personal opinion is, if you look up the dictionary definition, like in Merriam-Webster's or something, you'll see that in that time period when the gospel was written, and Jesus made that statement, it identified the government of the Greek city-states, the citizens that had the right to vote and determine the culture of their community. King James, being a king, really didn't want anybody thinking that they had any say in anything, that he had all the say. He was the law. And I don't know, I have no proof of it, but I think that was probably part of his motivation to not use the meaning of ecclesia there. Now, we can still use the word church, but we just need to understand that when we talk about church, there's a component of church. Now, we're supposed to win the lost, but there's a component of church that Jesus is expecting us to influence the culture that we're in. That's why he told us to disciple the nations. And I'll just throw this out. He didn't say, disciple those who accept me. He said, disciple the nations. Just ponder that for a little bit. And what we're looking at now are some biblical examples of how God works, his ways. Psalms 103, verse 7 says, He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. Israel knew his acts. They knew what he did. They saw him perform. Many Christians know what God did. God split the Red Sea. God sent the manna. He did a lot of these things. But unfortunately, we need to learn God's ways. And you don't learn his ways by just examining the action. Oh, he split the Red Sea. You got to dig a little bit deeper. Moses knew his ways. God made known his ways to Moses. Now with this, if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 7, and we will read there verses 21 and 22. We could actually read 20, but the main part's in 21 and 22. But I made this statement in our last podcast, that if you'll examine the scripture, you will be surprised at how frequently God brought deliverance through people who held positions in government. And another statement I made was that sometimes they didn't hold a position when God used them as a deliverer, but because of that, it ended up putting them in a political position. It put them in a government position. Or they were in a government position and God used that position to bring deliverance to people. We miss that part because we are so blinded by our societies trying to push down our throat the concept of separation of church and state. And there is a truth to that. And if you want to know the truth, it's contained in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, and that doesn't mean establishing a religion doesn't mean nativity scenes. That's not what that means. It's saying that you can't decide, like Constantine in the 300s, he decided that all of Rome had to become Christians. Like during the Inquisition, they decided everybody had to be a Christian or they were going to die. No, you can't establish it. That's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. And that's what that piece was talking about. But the second part of that, you know, Congress shall make no law establishing religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, there are not supposed to be any laws prohibiting individuals and groups of individuals from practicing their faith. There are to be no, Congress shall make no law. That those two things, and if you actually read Jefferson's statement when he made that, read that his entire letter, you'll see he actually identifies the First Amendment as the wall of separation. No establishment, no hindering of the free exercise. The wall works both ways. But in our society today, there is so much, oh, if you're religious, you can't do this. If you're religious, you can't do that. It's like it only works one way. Well, and in all honesty, most of the times when they point that out, it doesn't work in the ways that they're talking about. They're basically saying if it is religious, it cannot be outside the walls of the church. And as a believer, if you're a believer, you need to understand that the enemy, I'm not talking about the flesh and blood, I'm talking about the spirit behind it. That is his objective, is to keep believers totally inside the walls of churches and not to have any of this going on out in the secular world. And that's because he opposes God, because God wants you to affect the culture. God wants you to do that, and he's trying to stop God's will in the earth. Now, in this, what we have to understand is in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is talking. This is when he was going to be martyred, and he identifies what happened with Moses. You see, Moses is probably the most, outside of Jesus, he is the most famous deliverer in the history of the Bible. Now, in Acts 7, 21 and 22, it says this, let's read verse 20, it'll be better if we do. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, when they put him out in the river, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. The children of Israel were crying out for deliverance. And what did God do? He put one of his own people right smack dab inside of the monarchy. He got Moses inside Pharaoh's home and got him instructed in all the ways of the Egyptians. He learned everything about government and anything else that the Egyptians knew. When God wanted to send deliverance to Israel and free them from Egypt, he put the deliverer right smack dab in the middle of the Egyptian government. Stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
We're back, and we're talking right now about Moses. And Israel was crying out for deliverance. And as I stated, God, in sending a deliverer, Moses, he put him right smack dab in the middle of the Egyptian government, right in Pharaoh's home. And he got Moses instructed, as Acts 7, 21 and 22 talks about, he was instructed in all the ways of the Egyptians. If you would, now most of the time we look at Moses being on the backside of the desert, and that was his preparation. He prepared him on the backside of the desert. Now that was a part of it, but it wasn't all of it. Because if that was the only preparation, he could have started him out there. But Moses' life in Egypt was part of his preparation. He had the absolute best education. In that sense, he would have learned everything about science that the Egyptians knew. He would have learned everything about math that the Egyptians knew. He would have learned everything about government, about leadership, about strategy. He would have learned all of those things coming up as Pharaoh's son. Pharaoh's daughter's son. He would have gotten all that information. He was going to be the deliverer of Israel from Egypt, and God had Egypt prepare him for it. Isn't that amazing how God does things? So you got to learn his ways. God, now, obviously, Moses, it says in Hebrews 11 that when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He actually went out and killed an Egyptian and tried to, he was nice to the Israelites. But then he realized they knew that he had killed that guy, so he left and fled to the wilderness. Now, there were things, if you would, he probably picked up too much from Egypt. He probably picked up some of the arrogance. He probably picked up some of the attitude. You see, it's hard to stay in an environment that goes all one direction and not get some of it in you. And so Moses, growing up in Pharaoh's household, they would have been accustomed to doing what they wanted, when they want it, how they want it, and everybody else just had to deal with it. So Moses, he kills the Egyptians, he does what he wants, he buried him, did it the way he wanted to do, and then he thinks nobody's going to know. He knew if Pharaoh found out, he'd probably be in trouble. But he's functioning how he wants to. So if you would, his training is not complete. That's why he had to go to the backside of the desert, learn some patience, learn to listen to God, learn to seek God. You see, it can't just be the natural aspect. It has to be the natural and the spiritual. But the thing we look at so often is we only focus on the spiritual preparation and the development of Moses. But God took him, if you would, he prepared the way for Moses to go from his father's house. He was only there 3 months. They put him into the water. He floats down. Pharaoh's daughter sees him, takes him in. She takes him and raises him as her own. Why? God was laying a foundation in Moses' life. He was, again, right smack dab in the middle of the Egyptian government, learning how the system works, learning how government works, so forth and so on. He got educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And you see, we miss that piece because, again, God, he works through natural things. How did God prepare the deliverer? Yeah, he did put him on the backside of the desert, but he also put him in the palace of the Egyptian government to be trained. And you see, we as Christians, very often, we don't want to bother with the natural things. I just don't deal with that. Well, again, if God's will is going to be done, we've got to understand the way that he will do it. God's not going to renew America and improve it without using people. He's not going to do it separate from his people. We have to become engaged. We have to become engaged. We have to have training. We have to understand. That's one reason that we're doing the Ecclesia's principles, is so that you can learn what God says about government. We have to prepare. We have to understand, and you'll probably hear me say this phrase a number of times over the course of time. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The only way we can know God's will is to look into his word. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we've got to hear what God says about government and how government should work, how it should function. It is not separate. You know, I'll just throw this out to you. Again, Jesus in Matthew 25, he's talking about the judgment of nations. Nations are going to be judged. Now, in that, we won't take the time to drill down into it all. I just want to get the basic concept here. At that point, it says he separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Now, these are nations. Sheep nations, goat nations. The sheep nations are those that, at least to some degree, do the will of God. The goat nations are those that don't respond to God properly. You know, he said, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink, so forth and so on. He said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Those that were the goats that were cast, you know, out, he said, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. He's talking about how nations, see, when we read that, we're almost always thinking about what I need to do individually. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. It's just not complete. Because the actual passage in Matthew 25 is talking about nations, sheep nations, goat nations. Now, here's part of the question. Which one would you like America to be? Would you want America to be a sheep nation? Or are you content with it being a goat nation? Because in days gone by, I believe we've been a sheep nation, but we're getting a little goat in us right now and have been getting more and more that way over the last decades. And you see, with this, we have a part to play. Do we want a sheep nation? Do we want a goat nation? Well, when we look at God's ways and we see how God prepared Moses, then if he's wanting us, because he used Moses to establish, if you would, a sheep nation, Israel. If we want America to be a sheep nation, then to some degree, the way God prepared Moses is the way he will prepare us. In other words, we will have to be learned in the ways of government. We'll have to know what God says. We'll have to know the natural piece too, but we'll have to know what God says about those areas, because God does have things to say about it. And he's got a lot more to say about it than we typically realize. Well, this is the end of our second segment. Stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back, and we're talking about Moses and how God prepared him. And now I want to begin to switch in this segment to talking about what God made him into. He was born as a descendant of Israel, a descendant of Abraham. He was raised in Pharaoh's house and taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians. if you would, God maneuvered him right into the heart of the Egyptian government. And he was raised there, taught there, trained there, learned in all of their wisdom. God used him to deliver Israel. Now, you see, the thing of it is, and I'll say this again, we said it about Joseph, we can see it now with Moses. God, very frequently, when he brings deliverance, he uses someone that is in a government position. That happens a whole lot more than you think. You know, I know some people, you're thinking, it's not true. Stay with us. I'm not going to get to it all today, but just stay with us. Just start scanning through your Bible and start thinking. I'll throw out one real quickly to you, Esther. God used Esther to bring deliverance to Israel. She was in a government position. That happens so frequently. And again, one of two ways. God, you know, they're either in a government position and God uses them to bring deliverance, or God uses them to bring deliverance and they end up in a government position. God very much works through government positions. He does a lot of his work there, but we have ignored so much of the scripture on this subject. It's like we don't want to hear it, but I think in reality, it's the devil has blinded our minds and caused us to miss it. But Moses, God prepared him, if you would, in the halls of Egyptian government. He finished preparing him himself on the backside of the desert. He needed additional training that the Egyptians couldn't give him. Now, he goes to Egypt, says, Pharaoh, let my people go. That's God's message to you. Once Israel leaves, who are they following? They're following Moses. They are following Moses. If you would, Moses, when he's in Egypt, is functioning as an ambassador from heaven. He is there representing God. He is there negotiating with Pharaoh. That's a government position. That's a kingdom position. When they go out, if you would, he's the commander in chief. Now, he's following God. And a lot of times, well, God was their leader. Yeah, but they looked at God through Moses. Moses was that focal point. God talked to Moses, and he led the children of Israel. You see, in that sense, from the natural standpoint, Moses was the head of the Israelite nation. He was the head of that nation. Now, thank God he was following God. But as far as people go, he was the head of that nation. They go to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on the mountain. And God gives to him, two times, God gives to him the Ten Commandments. He gives him the law. That the basis of the law, if you would, is the Ten Commandments. But if you read particularly Leviticus and Numbers and even parts of Exodus, you'll see, and Deuteronomy, you'll see the different things that God told Moses up on the mountain. You see, God was the lawgiver, but the law was given through Moses. John chapter 1, I believe it's the 17th verse, says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, God was the lawgiver, but it was given through Moses. Moses was the leader of the nation. He brought deliverance with him, and then he put him into a leadership position, the leadership position of the new nation. Israel became a nation at that point, especially when God made a covenant with them. He had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he made another covenant with them as a people, as a nation. And ultimately, that covenant, the law was a part of that covenant. It wasn't a part of the Abrahamic covenant. It was a part of the covenant with Israel as a nation. He gave that covenant to Israel through Moses. Moses was, you know, they had elders. They had the 70 elders. They had the heads of the tribes. There were other people involved in the leadership of that nation. But at the top of that nation was Moses. He was under God in that sense, but he was the top human in the Israelite government. God established a nation, and in preparing him in the halls of Pharaoh's house, in the halls, if you would, of the Egyptian government, because that's where it was, through training him on the backside of the desert, through having him, if you would, negotiate with the most powerful nation on the earth to free Israel, all of those things prepared Moses to lead the nation of Israel. Now, he had his hands full. They were a mess, and they were a problem at that time. You just read the story. But God prepared him to be the leader. He gave the law through him. He actually led them in battle. You know, we read the story about Aaron and Hur holding Moses' hands up, and while his hands were held up, Israel won the battle. Moses was the commander in chief. Again, it was all under God, but Moses was the man at the top. He was key in God's government. We've got, again, if we're going to understand God's ways, we got to stop ignoring the parts that deal with government in the Bible. And we've actually got to start paying attention to them. Because as we pay attention to those pieces and begin to move our nation in that direction, our nation's going to be a whole lot better off. Well, stay with us through this message, and we'll be back for our last segment.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area.
I want to look now at our action. You know, with every element of truth, faith without works is dead. You know, if we hear the word and don't do it, then we deceive ourselves. I don't know about you, but I don't want to deceive myself. So with this, we need to examine what we need to do from this. And before I do very much with that, I want to look at another little part of Moses' story. You see, when Moses was on the backside of the desert, after he had been raised in Pharaoh's house and trained to be a leader, trained to be in charge, trained to be a significant government official, he's on the backside of the desert, and God talks to him and tells him to go back to Egypt. He's sending him back. Moses struggled with that. Moses didn't want to do it. And you see, there's a lot of things with this. And if he'd have known what was coming after the children of Israel came out, he might have said, I'm not talking to you no more about this. If he'd known the whole story, he might have really closed the door on God. But it isn't uncommon, and that's really what I'm pointing out. It isn't uncommon when God begins to deal with you about something to have a reluctance in doing it. Moses had a reluctance. And finally, God told me, he said, listen, I'll send Aaron with you. I've talked to him. He's coming. He'll meet you. He'll help you. And Moses did eventually follow it. With some of these things, you may have some reluctance to move. Number one, things that we're talking about are not things you hear in church very frequently. Some of you may have never heard it in church. But that doesn't keep it from being the truth. And Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, if we continue, let's take the flip side of that. If we continue in error, things, false teaching or whatever, or we ignore things, then we won't know the truth, we will be deceived, and we won't be set free. If we want freedom, if we want things better, we really have to find out what God's word says about government. We've got to do that. And you don't have to get weird. You don't have to get flaky. you don't have to do all that kind of stuff, because that's not what God wants. But you see, Moses was reluctant. You may be reluctant. Don't feel bad about that. Just keep getting in the Word. Keep joining us. Share our podcast with other people, because our first objective with this is to enlighten people. If people do not understand God's Word on this subject, you see, knowing the truth will make you free. If we don't have truth in the realm of government, then in the realm of government, we will not have freedom. Think about that for a little bit. We've got to understand that dynamic. We have been slowly getting away from it. And so many of us today might go, well, we've had it for a while. Yeah, but it erodes if we don't understand the truth of it. See, very simply, Isaiah 33:22 is the foundation for the three branches of government. God is the lawgiver, God is the judge, God is the king, executive, legislative, and judicial. That's where our founding fathers got it. The basic structure of this nation came from the Bible. They understood it. Sadly, we don't. So even now, freedoms that they risk their lives for, we kind of take for granted and don't really care about them. And a big part of it is because we don't understand how significant they are. When you understand what the Bible says about some of these things, some of these rights become a whole lot more significant, because you see what they provide, the foundation that they provide for so many other things. So continue to get enlightened, help other people to get enlightened. Secondly, get engaged. Get engaged. Find a way you can do it. You know, it's not going to be the same for everybody. And thirdly, pray for other people to get engaged. And if the Lord starts laying on your heart to be involved in civil government, definitely get enlightened. But get enlightened from God and the natural world. Just like Moses had to have both, you're going to have both. And it doesn't take, it's not rocket science. You can function in it, and there's more we'll get into over time. But if God does lay it on your heart, don't resist Him. Begin a path to prepare yourself. Because you see, I believe there's a stirring in the hearts of so many people today that know things need to be different, that things need to change. And it's not just, you know, in the last year. It's been for a period of time. And that's because our society has moved further and further away from God. We've got to find out what God says about government so that our nation can be renewed, so that freedom can ring. What is on the Liberty Bell is a scripture. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. But for that to happen, we've got to get engaged, and we've got to come together. Join us in this pursuit.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.